Father, we thank you that our hearts are good ground this morning because we just eliminated everything else and gave you focal attention in our worship. And if there's anything trying to steal that right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every intrusive thought, every intrusive emotion, that it would bow its knee right now to the name of Jesus. That nothing will have precedent in this place but our focus upon you. You are your word, and your word has come to do something in us that only your word can do, and we fully surrender and we fully submit to it. Would you just lift your hand to Jesus? That's an act of saying, I am here. I'm in attention. Let my heart be ready. That nothing could take away what God is about to insert and to plant. It will reap a harvest. It will come to 100-fold. And it will bring forth what God intended it to bring forth. In the name of Jesus, if you agree with that, please say amen.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate that. If you know him and you love him, if you know him, I'm serious, if you consider yourself, he's talking to me. When I say if you know him and you go like he's talking to me, if you know God and you love him, you may even have his spirit living in you. But at some point, maybe from the beginning of this series, he stepped on your toes. If he hasn't, then I mean, a good dad steps on our toes and we need toes stepped on. He stepped on some toes hard. I've heard people come to me at the door and say, he's stepping on my toes. Not that language. They're crying and say, he's dealing with my heart. Toe stepping. Same thing, you know. I want you to remember this. We've been in Romans, the previous 7 chapters. It felt a lot like a fatherly correction, right? God alone is God. So those he loves, it says in his word, those he loves, he corrects. Those he loves, he corrects. Because he's a good father. He's a good father. I've been watching good fathering around here with people with their kids, and it's just amazing to watch. He's a good father. In this path, that even though it's hard, it equips us. You know, hard things equip us. They do. So when it comes to him correcting you, let him. Let him. And then if that is sincere, if you love him and you let him, and if all that's sincere, you're going to love chapter 8. The hard road, Romans 8, 1 through 2. Episode 8, I want to call it part 1 because there's no way I get through all this steak today. I like to get through stuff. I'm accomplished, like a check it off, got through it. This is a thick old T-bone that overlaps your plate, and I don't want to shove it down your throat. I want you to chew on it with me. You know, and so that's the intent. We'll see. I'm going to try to slow roll it and get you out in time. Are those babies air conditioner working in that children's church room? Wait a second. Is it? That was very unconfident. Yeah, it might be working in that. Well, if you can hear me, teachers, if you're sweating your face off, come out and show me your faces if you need to, and I'll end there. Yeah, okay. Romans 8, 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Say none. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment. There is now no condemnation, nor guilty verdict, nor punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. None of all that. That's hard to grab. When you first find him for the first time and you realize that he forgave you and it's done, you're a mess. Your heart is like, you don't know. And I kept going to people, go, but can he forgive me for this? I was telling people stuff like, don't tell us. We don't know you. Don't, just because we're in church, don't confess your sins to me. Go see pastor. No, I got to tell you, will he forgive me for this? I was laying them out there. Why? Because it didn't matter, because I wanted it forgiven. And I want to make sure it was. And once... If some of you come messy, anybody come messy to Jesus? Ugly, messy, yeah, all of us. If you didn't raise your hand, that might be part of the problem. Pride. Seriously, pride's the worst of all of it, right? Come on. That's Satan out of heaven. I mean, come on. Anyways, I'm not, get on the notes. None of all that. condemnation, guilt, punishment for those who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. Say, I am the church. None of all that. None of all that. Church, that's good news. I mean, if we need to understand that more, and we need to stop abusing that more. Because you can't abuse that and really love him. That's okay, just forgive me because it don't matter because Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. He did it, it doesn't matter. I can do this, I can do that, I can go over, slap man right in the head. Boom. Don't matter, you forgive him. Slap her again. Derek's like, I'll break your arm. I'll forgive you for that tomorrow. But see, it's okay, it doesn't matter because you'll forgive us, right? Being the church, we need to understand that more, but we also need to share that more better, don't we? We stop throwing condemnation on folks, right? Start living a life that draws them to holiness, and then you can tell them what God did to clean your sorry rear end, right? That's the story. That hooks me in when I see that, right, in people's lives. Church really being the church, getting cleaned up, doing stuff, surrendering to God, right? Personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has set you free. Free from the law of sin and death. Say, that is excellent news. Wow, like right now, if you believe that, if he is your personal Lord and Savior, you've given him that to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that means, boom, asteroid hits now, we're there. No question. You got a question? If you got a question, let him poke at your heart. That's the point, right? The section of scripture for us as Christians, that's the core point of what we do, who we are and what we believe that. Also, it's very meaty stuff. And like I said, I'm compulsive. You probably don't know that, but I am. And I want to get everything out of it. You know what I mean? I want to squeeze all the nutrients. You know, and put them out there. And sometimes that's overcooking, over-serving, right? Putting in the blender. I don't want to overcook it today. So today is going to be kind of chunky. I want to cut this chapter in half, hopefully. I want us to ruminate on some stuff. Romans 8:3 in the Amplified. For what the law could not do, that is overcome sin and remove its penalty or its power, law couldn't do it. Being weakened by the flesh, man's nature, without the Holy Spirit. Marisol, come here for a second. Yeah, come here. Come here. I want to say it, then you can say it. We're going to say a couple things, and you're probably definitely going to correct my second one. The Holy Spirit is muy, muy importante.
The whole thing? The Holy Spirit is muy, muy importante.
See the difference. How about this one? I'm going to try this in Spanish, and you translate it for me and then fix it. Ready? Espíritu Santo es muy, muy importante. Sí, gracias.
Say it, say it. Muy bien, muy bien. Espíritu Santo es muy, muy importante.
Yeah, what's that mean in English?
Holy Spirit is very, very important.
Thank you, Marisol. Very, very important. Jesus said, I got to go. I'm not hanging with you guys. Great breaking of bread. Doom, touch me. Woo, dance party. Got to get. Why? Because I got to send you the Holy Spirit. God did. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued it. He overcame it in the person of his own son. That's the way Jesus did it. He was perfect. We couldn't do it. I can't last more than 4 minutes and I fall from perfection. Anybody else do better than four? Man, I get about four. Why? Because my problem's me. It's not, you know, I don't need people to have a problem. I have my own problem that goes right between my ears. I am the problem. I am the church and I am the problem. You know, I am. Jesus could do it. Not only could he do it, say he did it. He did it, right? He did it. So thank you, Lord, because he knew we could not do it, you know. Romans 8:4, overcame so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled. See, he did it. Fulfilled in who? In us. Us who do not live our lives. Now, since that moment, from that moment we came to Jesus, we gave him our sin, and he took it and he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. That very moment, remember that? We made a choice at that moment to go, we're not going to live for ourselves anymore, because why? We're not going to play dead. We're going to stay dead. We're dead to us at that dead moment. So we do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh. Well, we do not live our lives guided by worldliness. We do not live our lives guided by our sinful nature. Check that. Check yourself for a second. What am I guided by? What do I live by? Facebook standard? My friend? My Romans? My countrymen? Hand me your ear. What is it? Your politics? What is it? If there's a thing in its place, knock it out. Knock it out. Us who do not live our lives. We don't live that way. We fall into that trouble. We're going to fall into a mess, right? Peter said, man, the thing I don't want to do, remember just last week, the thing I don't want to do, Peter, right? Paul. Peter, him too. He's a knucklehead too. He'll tell you in his books. He'll throw himself. But Paul last week said, I am like the worst. God tells me to do something, I go, I'm going to do it, and I don't. God tells you not to do something, then I last about 4 minutes. Paraphrase. Paul said, us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness, guided by sinful nature, but we live our lives in the ways of the Spirit. We live our lives guided by His power. Say this with me. He is Lord of me. Yeah. AKA my life is His to guide. If He's Lord of you, it's His to guide. You don't get to make choices. You know, if I get to make choices on my own, I wear this one bracelet because it reminds me of a bunch of different commitments I made. But one of it is I'm not my own. I'm a bond servant. If He said, do what you want to, we'd be having church up north next week and forever. Amen. I love him. I came back with a window crack. There's a crack, Pastor Justin, in the window. It's so terrible. I don't know. It's crazy driving out there. We didn't notice it. I didn't notice it at all. But I'm driving here to the church. I'm going to get pulled over. I'll be late for church. I can feel it. I'm going to have to go, do you know Officer Harshman? I have to use that, Marty. But I didn't have to. But when I was making choices for myself anyways, when I was my own man, my own bear, doing what I want to do when I want to do it, you know what that ended up me? In a mess. Anybody else? Mess. Guided by my own what? My relatives? Friends? Mess. But that's not how we live our lives anymore, right? He is Lord. We don't live that way anymore. You may find yourself in a mess, but we don't live in a mess anymore and stay in a mess anymore. And we give it to Jesus so we can get out of that mess and follow Him where He wants to go out that way. Sometimes He takes us on hard roads, right? He does. Thank God for Jesus. Romans 8, 5 through 8 in the Amplified. For those who are living according to the flesh, say don't play dead, stay dead. Those living for self, those guided by feelings, those guided by intellect, those guided by impulse, they did not cover anyone in this room. Right? I fall back to that. I fall back to my spider senses a lot. I trust my spider. I was talking to Shaw the other day. Like, he's like, I trust my spider senses 90%. I go, I do too, but Dr. Heidi does about 80%, so I stay with hers. I'm about 80% trust my spider senses. I've been duped before. Like, I was wrong. But 80% of the time. But you know what? That 20% that I didn't, you know, Jesus said, how's that work out when you're doing 80% back in the day? No, I wasn't 80% back in the day, Lord. It was a coin flip if I was going to be an idiot or not. And I don't know if it was a double-sided coin because I just landed on an idiot all the time. I made bad decisions. Bad decisions. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you. It happens. I lived according to my flesh. What I want to do, that's what I did. Like, what's your religion? Heathen, me. Why? What's good for me? What I like to do is for me. I'm a human doing me. And I'm almost dead many times. And then one time I got to see him for who he was, and it changed my life forever. So I may fall into the flesh sometimes, but I don't live there no more. Say, I'm the church, and I don't live there anymore. Oh. They say they set their minds on the things of the flesh, things that gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, they, what do they set their mind on? The things of the Spirit. They set their mind on, they're focused on intentionality. My granddaughter walked in her house the other day and said something really interesting to her Mimi. Made Cheyenne very nervous right now. She did. She walks, she goes, Mimi, why do you always have worship music on? I'm setting the mind of my house on something. Now, if you're in the backyard sometimes, you may hear some Leonard Skinner. That's not Dr. Heidi. You may get a little bit more country than you need. You may get some hip-hop reggae. But the majority of focus in our house is worship. Why? Because we're trying to set an atmosphere of we love you, and we want an atmosphere. We're setting our minds. I read my Bible every day because I'm supposed to, because it caused me to grow. Because he inhabits his word as well. I want to learn. But also, I find if I set myself too much on the latest Facebook conspiracy, my day goes like this. Oh, I'm selling everything, and I'm buying land in the Dakotas with a moat. Maybe Montana. I don't know. But, right? What you set your mind on takes over, doesn't it? Yeah, you could be in a good mood, and all of a sudden something happened. You set your mind on it before you know it. 10 minutes later, you're like, mean as snot. Like, what happened to you? I've been thinking. Shoot. I am my own worst me. I've been thinking, I am the problem, I am the church. Whew. Set their minds on the things of the Spirit intentionally, on His will and His purpose. As a disciple, if you're a disciple, raise your hand of Jesus Christ. Your life focus is supposed to be His will and His purpose. Wow. You feel the weight of that? Room. His will, His purpose. They set their minds on His will and His purpose, not the mind of the flesh, which is death. Death both now and forever. Both now and forever. Por qué? That means why. Right? Por qué? Why? Because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace and spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever, walking with God. It's, I mean, every day we're supposed to have this relationship connection, you know? It's not like a Sunday relationship. It's a Sunday kind of love. No. God's like a wake up in the morning, love you. I want some minutes with you. Hey, it's been a little while. It's been lunch. I miss you. Like, when I'm not with Dr. Heidi, I'm texting Dr. Heidi. Why? Because I want her with me. I don't want her anyplace else but with me. And I want her having fun. You know, I want her life to be fun and happiness. And I want her with me, and I want to experience that. I want that. And I set myself to try and do those things. When you're walking with God, it's easy to take the hard road. When you know you're not alone, and He knows He walked you through it, and He's with you. Anybody walk a hard road, you know this is what God asked me to do. And you felt Him in those moments. Walking with Him makes all the difference in the world. For now and forever, it says. For it could affect you forever. Our lack of surrender to Him and our propensity to guide ourselves or let other things guide us can change our forever picture. The mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. Actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law since it can't. And those who are in the flesh, those living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, what's it say? Cannot please God. I'm not saying we all fall short, right? If you're an all fall shorter, we all fall short. Those that choose to live in it and say, it's okay, God, it's okay, it's not a big deal, I'm just going to live in me still in this, and I refuse to submit to that, it says, then you can't really love me. If you love me, I'm first in all of that. Well, it's hard. There's difference. It's hard, and I'm trying. and I recognize it to the point I ain't doing it. That cater to sinful appetites cannot please God. Those living a life that cater to sinful appetites cannot please God. That's a hard truth on the hard road. And that's why the kind of times, most of the times in churches, you don't hear them preaching in Romans. Because that's hard, but it's truth. And hard truth from a good dad will save your life someday. Save your life someday. Romans 8, 9. Okay, Eva, I'll get on it. However, you are not living in the flesh. You, say I'm the church, you are not controlled by the sinful nature any longer. Say it's not my master. It is not my master anymore. It is not my master. I don't serve it. I fall sometimes. He tricks me up. He trips me. I should have not gone to Stinky's party. Whatever it is, boom, that happens. But I don't live in it. I don't pursue it. It no longer is my master. I have one master. So you, the church, are not controlled by sin, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God lives in you. Lives in directing and guiding you. Man, I'm so grateful. I used to bust on Spirit-filled people when I wasn't one. And I still bust on Spirit-filled people when they act in the flesh, when they say they're in the Spirit. And there's a difference. Don't fake God. Don't fake God. Don't ever fake God. Don't say God said something he didn't say. That's blasphemy. Don't fake God that he's doing something in your life and he's not. Blasphemy. Don't blaspheme God. It's up there in the top 10. I don't do it. But when I genuinely came into a community and I felt the presence of God come into my life, it changed everything. So, I know it's a terrible analogy, but you guys watch Pinocchio? You know Jiminy Cricket? I needed the Holy Spirit, Jiminy Cricket, on my shoulder every minute from salvation. Hey, 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 over here, Pinocchio. Okay. Okay, you used to run it over there. It's not what we used to do. Why? Because the word says this. I love you. You're my son. You're going to... And he would pull me and he'd bring people to pull me, right? Drafting me, driving me, helping me. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. That's a big hard truth. Being told on a hard road of true Christianity. Well, he's got to be first. He's got to be loved first. His ways first. Everything first. And sometimes when we get cleaned up and we start off in that direction, we say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then we get so big for our britches, we start going, I got it now. I'm not an addict anymore. I got it now. I don't do that. I don't do this anymore. Most of the time, sometimes every other Thursday, but that's it. I don't do that. I'm going to fall, you know, I got me. I got, because I'm cleaned up now. I got a good community. I can sit in church and nod and say, I am the church. But if you're not letting him guide you and lead you, and he's the ultimate force in your life, you're in dangerous ground. Paraphrase Paul. Romans 8, 10 through 11. See, this is thick. It's thick. Romans 8, 10 through 11. If Christ lives in you, though your body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness, which he provides. Who gives you righteousness? Jesus. Who paid for your penalty of sin? Jesus. Who cleaned it? Jesus. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. What? Unpack that. Surrender your life guidance and make it prayer to him and let him inhabit you. Eternal life. Wow. It takes a surrender, though. That's not easy. Romans 8, 12 through 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Ah, we all hate that word. We have an obligation. I have to wear stuff to remind me of my obligations. Well, you got an obligation. Why? I can't just move up to Sholo because I want to? No. Well, what if I ask all the church to go too? No. You have an obligation to what? To this Greyhound racetrack? No, to me. Okay, Father. It's an obligation. Want to know what the definition of obligation is? I didn't put it up there, so don't get nervous. A course of action that you are required to take. A course of action that you are required to take. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation required, but not by the flesh, to live according to the impulses of the flesh. Flesh, what is that? Our nature without the Holy Spirit. For if, say if you are living according to the impulse of the flesh, you're going to die. Say roadkill. If you live according to the impulses of your flesh, trust me, I would live off cheesecake. Why is that bad? It's bad. If I have to tell you why it's bad, you have a problem too. I would like to live off, but it's bad because it's a lot of sugar and stuff, but also I am allergic to dairy. It could kill me. But if I could, I would binge on it. You know? That was an impulse. You know? Ever live off impulses? Why'd you get in that fight? Impulse? Why? So-and-so might have been looking at me across the room like that. That's an impulse, brother. That ain't a fact. React out of impulse. Or buy something online out of impulse. Raise your hand, Dr. Heidi. You should raise your hand right now. I'm calling you out. We have widgets and gadgets. I'm like, what's this for? This is going to be great, is it? Is it going to be great? I got no room in the trash, man. UPS looks at me every time, like winks, and he drives by, like, I'll see you later. I know. I know you will, UPS. Amazon, UPS, I don't. She's got them all, you know. Required not to our flesh to live according to the impulse of the flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. For if we are living according to the impulse of the flesh, we're going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death. That's not there. I mean, he gets it. You got to put stuff to death on a regular basis. You got to make it a habit. Remember what used to be a habit, the sinful nature? Well, it's got to be a habit to kill it. You're going to make killing it a habit. Cleansed by Jesus, kill the habit. Right? You got to kill it. But if you're living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. I had a video that we can't play, can we? I'm very sad. And some of you might not even know the video, but what's it from? Sandlot. Ever seen the movie Sandlot? Yeah. Can you say it with me? Forever. Forever. Right? Forever. You will really live forever. What? If you make a habit of giving God first place and letting him guide your life and give him your sin and let him cleanse you from unrighteousness, and you do your very best to be filled by his Spirit and make decisions led by his Spirit, and you're putting to death those things that habitually have killed you, you will live forever. Man, what a promise is that? That's why I'm like, when it happens, there's people I want to talk to. I know where they are, their forever is. The hard part for me, a lot of folks, I don't know where their forever is. And if I stay there too long, you won't get me off stage. I'll just be bawling. Take me down to Florence Cemetery. I'll show you sad things. I don't know where some of my friends forever are. But I know this promise from God is true. This piece of steak is good meat to eat. Right? Romans 8, 14 through 15. For all who are allowing themselves, those true whos truly yield. You got to allow yourself, right? All who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You better know that it's the Spirit of God. Remember last week talked about don't be beguiled? What's close to the Spirit of God isn't the Spirit of God. Sometimes it sounds a lot like the Spirit of God. You better know that it's the Spirit of God. First of all. Second of all, I'm going to say it like this. Apostle John gently, didn't he? And tenderly and sweetly. If you're here when Apostle John spoke, if you weren't, you go, what's he saying? This is whatever the opposites are of gentle, tender, and sweet. But he reminded us, if it isn't God in your ear, any other spirit should shut up. Shut up. Sounds like God. It's not God. Shut up. Hey, you know what you should do? Is not no. Is it God? Have you prayed about it? Did God actually tell you? Don't tell me he told you. He didn't say to tell you. Don't blaspheme to me when I'm asking you to pray. Don't manipulate me with your prayer by saying God says something he didn't say. Why? Because that's a forever consequence you don't want to wear. But on the other hand, we should be listening for him to guide us. And every other thing we should tell is shut up. All who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Say, ooh, rah to that. Ooh, rah to that. For you, who? Any of you who's? Who have Christ in you? Point yourself. Say you. You. Yeah. That's great. So yeah, I want you to say me. Say me. Because I'm going to tell grandkids stories again. Noah, there's these pictures. He walks into our house. And he'll look at it. The first picture goes, Ellie. Picture of Elizabeth. Next one, Ephraim. We know that's Ephraim. He has a challenge. Everyone does. Ellie, Ephraim. And then there's a picture of him. And he said, who is that? And he goes, you. You. What? Because everybody goes, that's you. So that's you. Yeah, it's Noah. So we have to start saying that's Noah. He's like, that's you. Nice to meet you. I'm you. You know. You. For you. Me. For I have not received a spirit of slavery. That's not what I was promised. It's also not what was promised from God. He didn't say he's going to enslave us. We made a promise to us when we became sons and daughters of eternal life and love and guidance and connection and some hard roads and some changes. He made a promise to us, and it wasn't anything to do with slavery, but also we made a promise that day too, that we wouldn't be slaves to anything but him. God said, I set you free. And then he said, I'm going to send you some help. But you got to be a better fighter. Anybody feel that one? Man, I've been beat up by stuff. Sugar beats me up. You can have a little bit of sugar. It's fine. But I'll let it beat me up. You know, this time I did not eat the whole chocolate bar. Because I think Kirsten hid portions of it. You got to do what you got to do. You know, people helping people, you know. You have not received a spirit of slavery, but slavery's after you. It's coming after you all the time. Wants to be the master. Any other spirit that wants to beguile you and take your focus off God wants to be your master. Say, I have not received the spirit of slavery. I have not. I. Learning again to fear God's judgments. Have you ever feared God's judgments? If you haven't, you don't understand who he is. When people are like, I'm a son of the king. I'm going to stand before righteousness. I'm going to run. Like, phew. That's all true. But if you've never prostrated yourself to the ever-living God who's God of gods, King of kings and Lord of lords, you've never done that, don't run up like some punk kid. Like, there's not enough fear of God in our culture. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you never feared God's judgment, you don't know who he is. But eternal judgment is real. But true sons and daughters don't have to go back fearing that. We don't got to fear that anymore, right? No matter what your mess up is, you know he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you're trying to be led by him. And he knows you're not perfect, but you're not using the excuse of imperfection. You're actually fighting it. So I got you, man. Just keep fighting. I know you're going to take a lick sometimes. Keep fighting. Don't get condemned. There's no condemnation. Remember? Don't beat yourself up for falling. Get up and fight again. Come on. That could sting. That could sting. But say it's the hard road. It's the hard road. Some fear, contrary to popular culture, is good. Sometimes fear teaches valuable lessons to those who would learn them. The first lesson I tell all my grandkids, I know what they're learning at home. The very first thing I learn about fear in their lives is they go, hot. They all walk by the stove like it's nuclear. Everyone from Ellie all the way down. The little one's going to do the hot, hot. Noah walks around things that are pictures of hot. He goes, hot. Learn that lesson. Hot. How about the lesson that's learned when mommy said no means no? Ever have to learn that lesson or teach that lesson? Ever learn a lesson? Someone said, better not do that. You're going to get hurt. But you did it and you got hurt. ESP, emotional, spiritual, physical hurt. Don't do it, but you did it and you got hurt. Right? Some good fear is good. Fear is can be motivating. We should be afraid of certain things. Why? Because it helps correct and direct us from having terrible tragedies. Right? You don't teach your kids hot, you're going to spend a lot of time in the emergency room with burnt kids. And then DES is showing up because you're not teaching lessons. But you, say me, you who have not received the Spirit, I hope if you just said me and you haven't received the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to ask God for his baptism of his Holy Spirit in your life. And if you want someone to lay hands on you, we've got a bunch of folks that are filled with the Holy Spirit and would love to pray for you, but this is not a parlor trick. This is not repeat after me. This is we're praying for you, laying hands on you to receive the Spirit of God. Jesus said we need him. Marisol is muy, muy importante. I'm starting to say it better. Importante. That's good. You who have received the Spirit. No, I say the Spirit. And there are other spirits. Obvious, beguiling spirits. There are other spirits. Who have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which, if you get it, your heart want to vocalize this. Like if you, when you finally realize what he did for you, when you finally realize what he did for you, you joyfully cry, Abba, Father. Maybe I'm going too slow this morning. Maybe we could get through the whole chapter, but for Pete's sake, there's some hard stuff we just read. There's some things I got to re-correct and redirect and re-guide me and redirect me, right? I might have to delete Stinky's number. I don't have a Stinky problem anymore. I don't. But I used to. I used to be someone's problem. Anybody else was Stinky? Yeah, I was Stinky to other people. Yeah, I was that guy. Everyone's got my number. I had a friend just talked to me last night. We went from kindergarten to college together. He was in my room in the dorm when I almost ended everything. I'd known him that long. He's going back to our hometown today to celebrate his mother's 101st birthday. 101st birthday. You know, the tragedy in that relationship for me is she was always telling him, don't hang out with Capozzi. He's your problem. And he was my problem sometimes, but I was mostly his problem. So I regret being Stinky. There's many relationships had to go back and say, I am sorry, I was Stinky. I found Jesus to forgive me for that. Can I? And if you have not done that with the relationships that you were Stinky to, you got to do it right away. Go get clean. Jesus forgave you. Doesn't matter if they spit in your face. That doesn't matter. What matters is you're right here and you try to make it right there. That's a hard road. Anybody have to be pushed down that road? Yeah, man. For Pete's sake, it's a hard road for me too. There's so much in here. I'm gonna keep going a little bit longer. Romans 8, 14 through 15. I'll read it again. I know it's, you can pop it back up even though it wasn't in order. Thank you. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment. But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. The who's that allow the Spirit of God, check that. Cindy Lou Who, Jimmy Lou Who, how are you doing? Are you yielding? Are you who's? You know, sometimes us yielding as who's, I have a picture. I know you're looking forward to it. I have a picture. These are the who's, yeah. But they're all living on that little dust mat, you know, and these guys are like, boil that. We hear it from God. This voice, it's an analogy, this voice from the flower. And when it starts to speak and say, we're here, don't do this, everyone loses their mind. And they start to kill it. And I think sometimes when God speaks to us, we just lose our mind. Instead of just doing the thing he said, we lose our mind trying to not do the thing he said. We're in a worse situation than we've ever been in. Anybody, is that just me? That's how I used to be. I don't live that way anymore. But my not yielding when I was supposed to yield, man, holy cow, it wouldn't just be Dr. Heidi, it'd be Dr. Sean too. But I couldn't yield to the classroom book. I couldn't yield to the structure of college very well. I wasn't equipped. I did not have Jesus. I have a touch of compulsivity and ADHD too. That's a problem, I'm sure. I couldn't yield. And so many injuries in my life are because I couldn't yield. I took stuff on that I didn't need to take on because I would not yield. But God's a good God. And even though he's asking them harder me, whatever I yield is better is coming. I know that now. Do you know that? He says it's true. I know that. But how many times when the next thing he asks you to yield, how easy is it to yield? Ah, boil that dust back. You know, not yielding. But to those who truly yield are sons and daughters. When you see the first time that he adopted you as his true child, you want to shout like James Brown. I was going to put a James Brown clip in, honest one. Ah, feel good. Like when you first get it, when you first get it, like, no, he really loves me. I'm really a son. I'm adopted in. Like, we are family. Like, he loves me like that. And you didn't have that before. And you really get that. You know, there's something in you that you want to, yes, I feel good. No, you may dance out and get into a mess, but that moment right there, that's good. And you have to express it. And you call it out and you say it from your heart, right? Say, ow, you know, ow. Okay, new moms. There's one right in the room. Okay, new moms. Okay, keep me on a safe stroll right here. I am not wanting to sprint everyone up the superstitions. I want to land here soon, but it feels warm, and there are new moms in the house. Romans 8, 16 through 17. I will use them as a barometer. For the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm. Isn't it great to get affirmed, to set something solidly, confidently? When it gets affirmed, like, yeah, you got it? Yeah, great. To affirm that we are God's children. That's so nice to hear when we're on a hard road. Sometimes that's the thing that picks me up, Wilson Croft. When I'm in the midst of it, I go, okay, you know what, though? At the end of the day, right, Christian, at the end of the day, I'm his and he loves me. And if everyone else is dogging me out right now, or I know I'm with him. I got it. I got it. We got this. He affirms it to me. I'm not just a kid he's going to cast to the side. He's not going to cast me aside. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are, you are, I am, we are heirs of God's glory. Say booyah. Booyah. But if we are, if we truly are those who are his heirs, if we are, then we are to share his glory like you promised. We must also share, oh wait, share in his glory. I love that part. We must also share in his suffering. Wait a minute, both are in the heir smoothie? That's the same life in the same smoothie? I'm told sometimes on some television stations that's not true. Christian programming, no, no. There is a suffering. If you've been on the hard, there's a suffering of things sometimes. It's not popular modern Christianity, but it's still truth. I'm just saying. Often our life's roads, our paths or trails, the hard thing that we didn't want to do that you had to do, often those things, and you just submitted to Jesus and you're in the midst of the hard thing, some of those trails end up in some of those beautiful places. Changed my life forever. You know, some of you walked into the hard road of the dog track, and, you know, it became the God track. You know, unlikely. I got a picture. There's a hike in Samoa that I have not been on, over the mountain and through the woods, past grandmother's house, and it ends you there. But one of the reasons I haven't been there is I don't know if I'm in the physical shape to get there. So hopefully by the next time I get there, I'm going to do this to see that for myself. Some of the hidden things that God has in our life are hard roads. Uncharted territory for you. Not comfortable for you. Why are you making me climb up this stupid hill? They're sweating with mosquitoes. I can't barely handle this. Are you kidding me? Lunch is a coconut? I had that for breakfast. That affects my stomach. Too much coconut. Well, you know, you ever watch Tom Hanks? They don't tell you about coconut. It's good for you, but it'll clean you out. You cast away, yeah. So, you're climbing up this sweaty, dirty hill. Why? Mosquitoes bite me and people are yelling at me. And so what? I said, if you keep climbing on the hard road, if you keep climbing, wait till you see what you discover with me. The hard truth is on a hard road, if we don't receive what he's saying, it will keep you from heaven's road. not making the hard decisions when he asks us who can keep us from heaven's room. So here's a note to heirs. You ready? A note to heirs. A quick note to heirs. Good heirs, ready? Good heirs are not cocky. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. Don't claim that. I claim something different. Good heirs are not cocky. But his heirs are confident that the daddy took and takes care of them. Yeah. You never have to have my kids bragging, huh, my dad bought us food. Wow, that's my job, bro. They expect it. Like, they'll sit around there and go, when they're little, like, they expect food. I'm hungry. Bring us the food. You know? Theirs are confident that it's going to happen. God takes care of them. I hate when the body of Christ gets cocky, especially around unbelievers. Our road's hard enough for us to understand. You try to drag them up the road when you're not being sincere, or you're just shouting cocky Christian sayings at them. Oh, yeah, that's lovely. Before I became a Christian, those are the exact guys I want to punch in the nose. Bumper sticker boy, come here. You know? You just cut me off and you're screaming at your wife and bless God, huh? On your bumper sticker, you cut me off. You may meet him. I didn't like him. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Changes everything. But then everything had to change. He changes everything. Woo! Then everything had to change. But I became confident. He's my dad. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And on my way to Jesus, I lost a lot of someone that I thought were going to be with me, but I lost them. Why? Because they couldn't take that road. Some are coming back. You got to see one baptized a couple months ago, a friend of mine. Romans 8, 18 through 19. I'm wrapping up, Hannah. I promise. Jai. For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy. All that is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is God. The glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. Revealed to us and in us. Ooh. Glory is not just a place, but it can be a condition and state of being in me. Man, I love those moments. Some of us that worship, like on a Sunday, we come together. I don't know. Here we go. There are moments through worship where I'm lost. None of you are here, but I feel worshipers around me. And you're just like, yeah, if it's better than this, then what's that like? Because right now, I feel you. I can't turn around and look to you sometimes because my face is leaking. I don't look like these guys are, you know, Marisol, she looks beautiful. She's worshiping. Pastor, his drum, everybody looks great. You know, they look professional magicians. If you saw me worshiping, if I was looking at you, you'd be like, oh my gosh, give him a tissue. He got something funky, something in his mustache. I can't even look at him. Is he crying again? Yeah, I love him. I love him, and he changed my life. And he asked me to walk hard roads, and he still asked me to walk hard roads, but he never asked me to walk alone because the Holy Spirit is muy, muy importante, right? The glory that is to us and in us. For even the creation, all nature, waits eagerly. All nature, all creation itself waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. I have a picture of what it looks like to eagerly want something. She had her first avocado. That's Eva, Pastor Justin's youngest. And I was trying to get a picture of, I go, Cheyenne, give me a picture of the Ellie and Ephraim looking eager for something. She goes, I will, Dad. I'm just in the middle of a bunch of stuff. And she's zipping around. And then she sends me this picture. And I go, never mind, that's it. That's eager. That's looking forward to it. Look, give me some of that, you know. Wait till she has chocolate ice cream. She's going to blow her mind. That's just an avocado, baby. All creation can't wait. They're that eager. Creation's eager for God's kids to stand in their inheritance. All creation is groaning. Yielding season's here. What's keeping us from walking in that glory is really us. What am I not yielding on the hard road? What am I carrying up the hard road? What guidance am I taking on the hard road? It's not his. What? I got to shut up. Why? Because not only for my life, not only for your life, all creation is groaning for us to stand up and walk again like he called us to. Man, that changes the world. So, true sons and daughters never stop yielding. Like I said, this is a two-part chapter 8. You may want to binge on more, but you can't right now. I know some of you guys, like, this was a series, like, let's go to the second episode. Christian's like, bring it, Pastor. Can we have popcorn? Like, yeah, maybe. Somebody can do it. But I don't want to binge. You're going to get the same sauce next week. Next week is Father's Day. Woo! Dr. Heidi said, what are you going to preach? What kind of Father's Day message? I said, Romans 8. Why? Because fathers, we need it. It's time to get tougher than we've been. A little bit tougher for Jesus. Take us up that hard road. Even if it means one less donut. Praise him. Yeah. No special sauce next week. But the cones, the special sauce will be outside. But I want to close with this last verse. Smidgen of commentary. Here we go. Romans 8, 20 to 22. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. It wasn't the tree's fault, or the bunnies, or the rhinos, or the daffodils. It was mankind's who ruined everything, including our natural planet. We suffer things today because of that. Why? Well, how can you say that greed causes all the problems we have today, right? But with eager hope, say eager. Eager hope. Sometimes eager hope for me was when I went on a missions trip and I almost died, and it was hard to communicate with my wife. But when I got off the plane, I never saw her more eager to see me. That's how I picture that he's looking for, right? With eager hope, the creation looks forward. Say forward. Looks forward. Forward. On life's roads, if you're driving, you should spend most of your time in your car looking forward. If you didn't know that, please see me after church. We have to talk. Most of your life, you should be driving forward. That's not just with your car. That's your life. So many of us are stuck in the back trying to drive backwards. It's time to drive forward. Now, there's a reason for a rearview mirror. There is. There's a reason for it. You try to look and make sure your past, the thing that caught you before, that tripped you before, that thing you're looking to check, right, repeatedly, why? So it doesn't catch me again. What's behind me could kill me. If I'm not driving forward, it's driving forward season. Do you feel that in your life? Like, I'm driving forward. It's the season. I'm ready to drive forward, right? Look forward, it says. Look forward with eager hope, for the creations look forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom. Don't let stuff creep on you. Look forward. For we know that. We see it. We feel it. All creation is groaning in the pains of childbirth up to this present day. So here's my closing. If you are an heir of God, please stand up. If you know I'm an heir, all those songs we're singing in the scriptures about forgiveness, repentance, I accepted it. And I'm not looking up in case I want people who aren't standing, I don't want them to think I'm pointing them out. If you want to hit his offer for his fathering and you're not standing and you're like, I want that relationship with God, I don't know what to do, you come up front. You just come on up front. I'll have a conversation with you, Pastor Justin, Pastor Heidi, Dr. Heidi, Pastor Jody. Someone will have a conversation with you because fathering matters. Good fathering matters. Is anyone eager? Maybe it's time for you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's time to get baptized in water. I just know God's calling some of us to a different space and place in our relationship. And this hard road is put here for our purpose so we can look good afterwards. We can look just like Dad. So this morning, I see all the standards, Father, this morning, I pray you help us go forward with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you would baptize us all fresh, helping us, Lord, when we stumble, to stumble less. Then, Father, we would take the truth of who you are, what you've done, in us, through us, to the rest of the people in our lives. Help us deliver your great message very well. I pray for these wonderful people that have changed Apache Junction. I've seen some of these households change because of their yielding to Jesus. Lord, we're supposed to leave this building, maybe. I don't know what I'm going to give it to us. I don't know what you want to do, but we seem to be getting bigger because you're doing amazing things. So, Father, that scares the crap out of me sometimes. But, Lord, I pray to commission them to go change the world with other people's lives with this message. Empower your church to be the church. And the church said, amen. Amen. I love you all.